Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
You know, I don't know where church is or what church is sometimes, but I do know that it's about joy and buoyancy. You know, it's about exuberance. It's about laughter. It's about having fun. Because why would you bother to show up if it wasn't, right? We go to those things that inspire us. And so church is the same. It needs to be that place of true inspiration where things can happen. And now you never know what's going to happen. That's what I love about Unity, you know. You never know what's going to happen next. There's an old story about how the universe came into being. And God was just sitting there in bliss, you know, in the emptiness for millennia, forever, and then laughed. And in that laughter, because it felt so good just lying there in bliss, he laughed, and in that laughter, the Son was created, the Christ. And the Christ looks back at God and laughs too, because it's so exuberant to be alive and to see Dad there. And when they both laughed together, automatically the Holy Spirit came into being. So there were the three of them, and the three of them looked at each other and burst out into this raucous laughter, and the universe came into being, right? And I love that story because that's probably the way it is. It comes from an exuberance, from an affirmative impulse, and that's what this universe is. And therefore, we are part of that, aren't we? We are part of that co-creating principle of a buoyancy and possibility. See, God is a God of infinite possibility. I love that phrase, infinite possibility. It means anything's possible, right? The universe is made that way. And so therefore, if we're shortchanging ourselves, we're not in harmony with the way things are, you know? Get into harmony. Imagine if the God, you know, woke up in bliss one day and said, oh my God, this is so boring. There would not be a universe, would there? You know, God doesn't get bored in that sense. See, neither need we. There's always room for transformative good. Where is church? You know, I looked up the two Greek words that have their origins in the word church and ecclesiastical. Kyriak ostlalon in Greek means belonging to the Lord or of the Lord. Kyria means Lord. So a church is those who belong to the Lord, who show affiliation to spirit. And then the other one is ecclesia, which of course gives rise to the word modern word ecclesiastical, which means an assembly or a congregation. So both of these words, they're not really about the building, are they? They're about a community. They're about a gathering. And isn't that what church is? It's an intentional gathering of people coming together. It's interesting. Kyriak led to the word church, which kind of swept over northern parts of Europe up into Scotland. So we call churches in Scotland kirks, and it comes from that same word. And whereas in the southern parts, like église in French means church, so it comes from that origin for ecclesiastical. Interesting, but they're both talking about the same gathered intentionality. And how many does it take? Here's a question. How many does it take to create a church? Two or more, because even if you say one, it's your relationship with something, whether it's a relationship with nature or a relationship with the community itself. It's two, right? There's two. And Jesus lays it out like that. Said, where two or more gathered, there I am. There is the Christ presence. So it's that community. It doesn't have to be huge amounts of people, but it's the willingness to be together, right? To be like-minded. By the way, on another point, did you get that Peyton never even mentioned how much money we raised for the rummage sale? I mean, I love that we raised almost $4,500. I think it's more because money's still coming in. It's going to raise to about $4,600, which is awesome. That's great. But I love what he said. It was about what we created here over the 3 days, a sense of community for people who may never have been here before, may never come here again until next year at the $5 bags. But they'll remember the church. They'll remember this is a place of joy and expansiveness. And that's what I loved every time I went to the Bremage sale. It was filled with fun in there, you know. And that's what we're about, isn't it? That's the hallmark of a true community, yeah. What else? What other qualities? Gathered intentionality is what church is about, I think. This idea that people of like mind coming together. It's not just about everybody thinking the same way, though, is it? See, it's open to different ways of thinking, but we share a common deep heart value, which I believe is summed up in that song. You know, my religion is kindness. I could express that in multiplicity of ways, but ultimately that's a core value. Yeah? What else? Why do we gather? I don't know. I just show up. I find myself here. I'm just wandering around town, and then, oh, God, okay. Got to go somewhere. To what? For each other. See, I'm going to talk later about the chakras and Charles Fillmore. Well, no, I'm not. I'm going to talk about it now since we just brought it up. Let's get it out and let's include it now. But Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said that churches were thought centers in our body, and he was talking about the chakras. And I love that idea that each level resonates with a certain area. Sometimes we come into a church community because we're desperate, right? We need help. It's a spiritual hospital. And so we're moving at these needy chakras down below here. But then there's sometimes we're up here in the heart center, we're ready to give back, right? Like Peyton's saying, a spirit of service. So whatever level we're at, these are levels of the church within us, O Lord. Right? Different levels of where we are on any given day. Each one's valid. Though, you know, if we're going to hang out here all the time in the lower levels, we're probably not going to have a successful community, right? Because we need that sense of, it's not just about me, it's about spreading the wealth. Because at that level, you know that to give is more blessed than to receive, right? Because the more you can give it away, the more it flows back to you. What else? What else is it? It's intentional, it's gathered. A couple of years ago, we did a survey, and we asked people, please sum up Unity Church in three words. And the three words were very similar, but the one that came up at the top of the list all the time, acceptance. You know, so that's a spiritual, true spiritual church community for me. It's a place of acceptance without judgment, without division, without separating the right from the wrong, right? All people are welcome. That's true spiritual community. It's not always church. And if you think about all the great masters, many of them left the church or the temple. Often, actually, they were kicked out because they dared to think outside the box, right? Because they dared to do something that was inclusive and welcoming rather than hierarchical. Let's think about the Buddha. The Buddha was in reaction against the Hindu priestly caste at the time, right? And they had a certain way. There was only one way to get to God. Wait a minute, that was 2,600 years ago. Some things haven't changed. So he left that community, that tradition, because he felt it was hampering him, and he had to go all the way into the forest to discover the truth within himself, right? And when he finally discovered it, it was under the bow tree in the forests. What about Jesus? It says Jesus taught for a few times in the synagogue, but then they found out what he was talking about, and they kicked him out. So all the great sermons we have are outside, aren't they? The Sermon on the Mount, not the sermon in the church. Oh, yeah, I love that sermon in the church. Didn't happen. Not even the sermon in the synagogue. It was the Sermon on the Mountain, right? In Luke, it's the Sermon on the Plain. Often he was in a boat on the seashore preaching on the beach, right? He was doing it outside because they kicked him out and he wanted to be free. Unity was founded not as a church but as a movement, and I love that about it. We have not yet devolved into, quote, a denomination. Maybe we will one day, but I hope I'm not around to see that happen. I like it on the cutting edge, you know? And Daily Word, for instance, our devotional magazine, goes to about 3 million people a year. 99% of them don't go to Unity. So it reaches across all denominational borders. Silent Unity, the prayer ministry, receives 2 million or more calls a year or letters of help, giving help for people who need prayer. And 90% of those are not Unity folks. So this is church, isn't it? This is moving beyond. See, buildings are great, but it's not good to have an edifice complex about it. Because you like that? You know, some religions have an edifice complex. And they build bigger and bigger and bigger churches. Now, I love churches, don't get me wrong, and I love to go to Europe and see the great cathedrals. Some of those took 100 years to build, so generation after generation were involved. Sometimes granddad, dad, and the son were all involved at one period of time creating these amazing monuments, right? But if we mistake the monuments for the real thing, we got a problem, right? It's the people that infuse these places with power. You ever been to the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C.? Built only in a few years, but that's, again, it's modeling itself after these great cathedrals. It has immense energy. But what I love about it, I get the newsletter from them, is all the activities that are going on there, you know? That's what makes it an alive place. A lot of us get inspiration from nature. My religion is kindness, right? And my church is nature, yes? Because nature encompasses everything, doesn't it, actually? It's not just like, well, there's the world of man and then there's nature. No, actually, it is all nature, right? Everything is nature. Everything in this space here is made from natural products that have been transformed by human ingenuity into this, right? So we're still surrounded by nature. Nature is amazingly powerful. You know, in all traditions, especially ancient traditions, they have sacred groves. You see that in the Bible. You see that in Celtic tradition, in Druid tradition. These sacred groves were places in the forest, in the primeval forest, where they would go and worship. Yeah, and oftentimes people who disliked them wanted to conquer a certain people. What the first thing they did was to cut down their sacred groves. Stonehenge represents such a sacred grove. I think these great ancient cathedrals, also with their huge pillars going up and their vaulted ceilings, what do they look like? They look like a forest, right? They look like the sacred groves. So they are a remembrance of those beautiful sacred groves because it's awesome to go into nature and commune. That's church. Anybody ever been to the Redwoods? Isn't that amazing? I went to the Founders Grove a few years ago, and each tree, I think, is at least 1,000 years old and maybe 1,500 years old. I have never been to a place in the whole planet or in my life that had the peace that that place had. Those trees were incredibly wise, and they were speaking in terms of peace. And we just walked away from that place feeling totally renewed and rejuvenated. I felt I'd been to a church, a real, powerful church service, being in that place of nature. That's why we're going to Tandy Hills today, those who choose to have a picnic and then go on a nature walk, because Tandy Hills is 160 acres, real close to us, has the most best-preserved prairie in North Texas. And I'll show you a slideshow in a minute. So if you can come along, have some picnic time with us, and then at 1:45, Don Young, who helped save Tandy Hills, he's going to be there to lead us in a nature walk. So we're taking this idea of where is church from here into that space as well, because wherever we go is a holy place, isn't it? Wherever we go, there's that possibility for the sacred. What else? What else is church? We've started the ball rolling. We said it's intentional. It's a place of acceptance. It's open-minded. We expect to come away a little uplifted, don't we? This is a place where I get a boost every Sunday, hopefully. Right? Whenever I show up here, I feel the energy. So through a variety of ways. By the way, we're going to have a healing meditation using Qigong today from Pat Daraz, so it'll be a little different for our meditation time. And I think it's good to use different modalities, isn't it? We love music. That does it for us. Inspirational words, beautiful poems. But movement is important, too. Dancing, intentional. Everything that's intentional in a joyous way is important, right? To shake us up out of our complacency. Some other famous people who were kicked out of church. George Fox, founder of the Quakers, you know, they did not like him because he kept saying the light is within us. You kidding me? So they kicked him out, but he had like 60 to 100,000 people gather on hillsides, they wanted to listen to this message because it resonated. He called them the church houses. He didn't call them churches because he didn't respect them enough. Steeple houses, I think he called them. But he was out of the box. And that's another aspect of what real church is. To me, it invites us out of the box of our conditioning, yes? Out of the humdrum into something that's new and vibrant and possible, that takes us across the threshold into a newness of life. George Fox. John Wesley, although he retained ordination in the Episcopal Church all of his life, he rarely preached in the later years of his life. Number one, because they couldn't contain the crowds in any church. So he would often pray and do his services outside. And he often under trees because he understood the power of trees. So again, he was linking back to that ancient connectedness to nature. See, that's why I love Peter singing, because and the other singers and all the musicians, but I get sparked, you know. I'm getting enthusiastic when he starts singing and shaking and doing his thing. We're going to embarrass him, but he loves it. He loves it. He's the shaking. Shaking. One more thing. Solace. Okay, that's important too, isn't it? It's not just about all the... Because, you know, you can be emotional. I love what John Ruskin said. He said that this connectedness with nature and with God, with the true church, is not just about passion. Because emotionalism can come and emotionalism can go. But what the deep passion, the deep inherent connectedness with spirit is very calm and peaceful, right? And it brings solace to our hearts. I think that's important as well, that it's not just about, ooh, yeah, I'm having a great time. It's also about I'm centered and poised in this beautiful Christ spirit, and nothing could disturb the calm peace of my soul. I found it in this sanctuary, and I'm going to take it with me into my world. Because ultimately, folks, the universe is our church, isn't it? And praise is the name of the game. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.